Matthew 19, verse 18. Today I want to, if I can, finish my little mini-series, if you want to call it that, on foundations of a civilized society. Can y'all believe that the foundations of a civilized society are in God's Word? They are. Of course, now, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, this is when the rich young ruler has come to the Lord and asked him what good thing he can do that he may enter into life. And the Lord says in verse 18, Matthew 19 and 18, he saith, that is, the Lord said unto the rich young ruler, the rich young ruler said unto the Lord, which? Because the Lord said, keep the commandments. If you want to have a good life, if you want to live a good life, you want to enjoy your life? Anybody here want to enjoy your life? Anybody? You young people want to enjoy your life? Young people? I can tell you how. Keep the commandments. That's very simple. Not go out and try to be the next Rihanna. Or worse, well, okay, I better stop that right there. He that would enjoy life, just keep the commandments. Live a godly life. That's the way to do it. That's the way to get there. You can't get there any other way. But anyway, enough of that. So this man said to the Lord, which commandments? And Jesus said, and here are the foundations of a civilized society. Thou shalt do no murder. Now in the Ten Commandments, that reads, thou shalt not kill. So I know from what the Lord said here, that thou shalt not kill means don't murder people. It doesn't mean you can't shoot a deer or the skunk that comes up on your back porch. Don't ask me how I know about that. The positive way of saying that, I need your prayer so bad. The positive way of saying that, thou shalt not kill. The positive way of saying that is you have the right to life. You have the right to live your life and not be murdered. Okay, enough of that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a foundation of a civilized society. The sanctity of the marriage bed, the sanctity of the home is not to be infringed upon. I'll just leave it. Now, thou shalt not steal, the next one the Lord mentioned. I mentioned to you about a month ago, you remember when we talked about the blessing of work? And you remember, you know, I told you that according to God's word, you have the right to work and own personal property. That is granted you in God's word. Bible does not support communism or socialism. Oh, you young people, I hope you heard that, you college students, because you're crazy professors. Okay. Dot, dot, dot. Don't ask me how I know. You have the right to own, God says you have the right to own personal property and nobody steal it. You ever had anything stolen? Anyway, okay. And you remember went through that. Well, so there are three. So this morning I'm not going to speak on thou shalt not steal because I've already done that about a month ago. I'd kind of like to. So today we come to the fourth of these foundations for a civilized society. There in verse 18, thou shalt not bear false witness. And I think that means more than lie. Now, you're not supposed to lie. You know, but this is more than that, I think. Bearing false witness. I'm going to tell you all, this is the foundation of a civilized society. You may remember that when we discussed, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt do no murder. You remember we discussed the fact that the protection that God put on that was the person that murders somebody forfeits his own life according to God's word. Remember that? And I know that your professors will say that's uncivilized. I'm telling you that is civilized. I could go on and on all day about that. But you also remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, which I'm not going to let you read, turn there. But you remember in Deuteronomy 17, 6, the Lord said, you are not allowed to take the life of a murderer unless you have at least two witnesses. You remember that? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You are not allowed to take the life of a murderer with only one witness. Now I bring that up to ask you this. How horrible would it be if somebody bore false witness against someone? Lied about that, bore false witness, and brought a condemnation against someone, a condemnation of a murderer against someone, and they lied. Now God says in His Word, you are protected from that kind of stuff because the Lord said, thou shalt not bear false witness. You're not allowed to do that. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible meshes together and it works just right when we understand it? We have to rightly divide the Word of God, right? We have to rightly divide it. I need your prayers so badly. I want y'all to know I love you so much. I love you till I can't bear it almost. I was a teacher for many years. I loved teaching. I loved it. I loved young people. I still love young people. I love the young people so much I embarrass them, no doubt, talking to them and yelling at them and stuff. When I was teaching, one of my greatest fears was a female false witness. You know what I'm saying? I loved my students. I didn't lust after them, but I loved them. But you know what? All it would have taken to destroy me, to destroy my career, would have been one false witness. Are y'all with me? How destructive can these things be? You can absolutely destroy someone by bearing false witness against them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, so one foundation of a civilized society is Almighty God says you're not supposed to bear false witness against your neighbor, against your brother. Isn't that just amazing? Now, of course, here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18, the Lord is referring to the Ten Commandments, and He's referred to 6, 7, 8, and 9. So I know that the commandments 6, 7, 8, and 9 are foundations of a civilized society. Some of the other commandments let me just mention the 10th. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. And I don't know that there's laws against coveting in society. I'm not sure you can legislate not coveting. But I'm going to tell you that you're going to be happier if you don't. I think I was talking to Chris and David about it. Chris is such a pistol. Let me tell you what Chris told me. I was asking Chris, I want to put something on the sign about Thanksgiving. You know, be thankful something. Chris said, what you need to put up there is shut up and be thankful. And I thought, well, that's outstanding, but I might want to tone that down a little bit. I think I'm going to put stop and be thankful. What do y'all think about that? Or pause and be thankful. We were talking about, yep. But rather than, anyway. So, but we were talking about this covet, you know. Who's happier? The person that's content with what they have? Or the person who sees stuff and just burns and burns and burns and then, you know, who's happier? I'm just asking you. At some point, we have to be content. I mean, you got to kind of make a decision to be content. But now, so I don't think, though, that you can legislate contentment. However, we are called upon in God's Word to legislate these four things that Christ mentions right here. The foundations of a civilized society. Now, let me just quote you a couple more. I'm not going to let you turn to these. I'm going to quote these to you. If you're, Babu wants to write them down because she's taking notes. Babu's taking notes up here. She's an astonishment. Exodus 23:1 says, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Thou shalt not raise a false report. Don't do it. Well, what if you hate the person? Big deal. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not, I love this. The language of the Bible sometimes is, sometimes is perfect. Did you hear what I just about said? The language of the Bible is perfect. But sometimes it just kind of rings our bell better. Listen to this one. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Don't go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. That is, don't be a false witness. And then the Lord gives us the reason why. You want to know the reason why? Okay, I'm going to read this verse again. Then the Lord concludes with the reason why. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. That's the reason why. That's kind of like, when I read that this week, I thought, well, that's kind of the Lord saying, you know, do it because I told you. You know, sometimes parents have to say that. Because sometimes you can't communicate the, I mean, parents should tell their children the reason why they're asking them to do something as much as they can. But there are times when you can't do it, and you just have to say, do it because I asked you to, please. Because do it because I tell you. The Lord is saying, whether you like this or not, whether you understand it or not, do it because I tell you. I'm the Lord. I love that. Okay, now I am going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. The Lord is very serious about us not bearing false witness. It's a foundation of a civilized society. Let me ask you, as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 19, starting verse 16, let me ask you, have you ever seen anyone famous on TV lie under oath? Have you ever seen that, maybe? Well, that's just, well, I'm going to tell you what, that's heathen. That's just heathen. That's terrible to say. Am I saying that everybody that does that's going to burn in hell? Absolutely not. The blood of Jesus, just like the blood of Jesus washed his people from their, it saved his people from their sins. Can you say amen to that? The blood of Jesus redeemed his people from all of their sins. That doesn't mean that we don't do bad stuff, right? We have the tendency. Deuteronomy 19 and 16. Okay. The Lord is very serious about us not bearing false witness, especially in court or anything like that, which, of course, the word we use for that is perjury. And that word is mentioned in the New Testament, which I'm going to get to in a minute. The Bible's perfectly harmonious. But listen to what the Lord tells us here in Deuteronomy 19, verse 16. Since the Lord is so serious about this, there are really serious sanctions against the person that would bear false witness. The Lord is very serious about it. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, So you're going to testify against somebody something that isn't true. Who would do that anyway? Right? I mean, that's what you're... What? Well, I don't know. Then both the men... Here's what God says is going to happen. Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. Sounds like we got a court situation going on here, doesn't it? How horrible would it be to lie under oath in a court of law? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about as a foundation of a civilized society? Y'all understand? And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. That is, they're gonna figure out what went on. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, if this person has borne false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, we should just say, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame. Is that all what the Lord says we're supposed to do? Say, shame on you. Don't do that anymore. For shame. Tisk, tisk. Is that what we're supposed to do? Then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. That's right there in God's word. Y'all realize I'm reading to you from God's word? This is not Gary Harvey's opinion. Although it is Gary Harvey's opinion, this is the word of Almighty God. You say, well, I don't want to do that. That's too harsh. Mean old God. What's the purpose behind it? So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So if the false witness... What the Bible is saying here is if the false witness in a court of law in a situation like that is testifying falsely against his brother to get him put to death, that is the judgment that must be brought to bear upon the false witness. That is what God's word says. Now, I want y'all to know there are people that will say that is uncivilized. That is just uncivilized. That is barbaric. I tell you, it is civilized. It is not barbaric. It is barbaric to allow a false witness to go unpunished, to ruin someone's life, to ruin their fortune, to cause them to be put to death. That is what's barbaric. Are you with me? Okay. And those which remain, that is, the rest of the people that hear about these goings on, those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. In other words, this is not just about the individual case. It's about stopping it, or as the old saying is, nipping it in the bud. Otherwise, it'll just keep on and on and on and on. Are you with me? Would y'all reckon that this might be a foundation of a civilized society? What do y'all reckon? What do you reckon? Does it not flabbergast you? Does it not just plain flabbergast you? That the old, outdated, outmoded, old-fashioned, irrelevant Bible, you know, that really doesn't have anything to do with anything, does it not astonish you that the Bible contains the rules for setting up a civilization? Does that not kind of flabbergast you? Well, it ought not flabbergast us, should it? And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. One more verse. And thine eyes shall not pity. How serious is God about this? How serious is it if someone lies about you, bears false witness against you in a court of law? How serious is it? The Lord says, whatever he's trying to, you must execute on him. Whatever he was trying to have executed upon you, if he's a liar. And then he says, thine eyes shall not pity. You know what happens to us? Are you listening? Our human compassion, our human feelings of compassion will get in our way and keep us from doing what God would have us do many times. Wouldn't you agree with that? Wouldn't you agree with that? Thine eye shall not pity, God says, but life shall go for life. In other words, if he tried to get your life, if he lied to get your life taken, that's what's got to happen to him. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Under the situation where you've got a false witness testifying wickedly against his brother, trying to get something done to him that should not be done, the person's innocent. Testifying against an innocent person. It's ironic, isn't it? Well, the Bible is just, it's just so amazing to me. Now, okay, there you go. Now, what I want to do now, I would like to quit early today. I would like to quit early. I want to read now to you from the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and kind of wrap all this up if the Lord will bless me. And this will be, hopefully, the culmination of these three sermons also. So, the foundations of a civilized society. They are, thou shalt not kill. That is, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's to protect the sanctity of the home. Thou shalt not steal. That's to protect your property. You worked for it. You earned it. It is yours, according to God's word. It's yours. You worked for it. Now, if you go out and take something that you didn't work for, you might want to look out because you might be stealing something. Right? And finally, the fourth foundation of a civilized society is thou shalt not bear false witness, especially in a court of law. Holy moly, who would want to do such a thing anyway? And before we read here in 1 Timothy, I also think it would be wrong if I knew someone was guilty of something to lie about their innocency in a court of law. Right? Okay, now, you may say to me, well, and I know, there are people who would say, well, you're reading from the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. Well, hang on a minute. I am well aware of the fact that the ceremonial law, the ceremonial way of worship, was abrogated at the death of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? All of the sacrifices and the Passover and all the feasts and the burnt offerings and the Levitical priesthood and Jerusalem being the center of worship, all that ended at the death of Christ. Right? So the ceremonial law part of the Old Testament was completed, fulfilled, done away with the death of Christ. But the moral code was not, and nor were the rules by which we have a civilized society, they were not abrogated at the death of Christ either. And to prove that to you, I want you to read here in the writings of the Apostle Paul, where he incorporates the very same thing, these very same rules, when he's describing the way governments are to work. By the way, did you know that the Bible also describes the purpose of civil government? What? The antiquated, old, irrelevant Word of God. No, it isn't. It tells us even how to run a society, what the purpose of civil government is. You know what the main purpose of civil government is according to the Bible? This is just radical. This is radical what I'm fixing to say. The main purpose of civil government, according to the Bible, is to punish evildoers. That's the main one. I'll just leave it there. Period. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you, Christine. Yeah, Gary, you better leave it there. You'll leave it there. Period. You know that, so I guess when she said shut up, she meant me. No, really. That's the main thing that the New Testament describes the purpose of civil government. Not just here, but also in the Roman letter. In Romans, which I think is Paul's greatest work, his magnum opus, if I can call it that. All right, enough of that. So let's read here, close out this whole mini-series, I guess. Verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read three verses, okay? But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law, okay, and this is civil law now, the laws of the land, the law is not made for a righteous man. Now that is an astonishment. What that means is if you're living a godly, righteous life, you do not need laws of the land to make you do right. That's what that means. If you're a godly person living a Christian life according to the rules of Almighty God, you don't need a law that says, don't murder anybody. You don't need a law that says, don't steal. You don't need a law that says, don't commit adultery. You don't need a law that says, don't bear false witness. You're not going to do that anyway because you're trying to walk by the rules of Almighty God. But you know what? There are people out there in society, believe it or not, who are not trying to walk by the rules of Almighty God. What does the Bible say civil government is supposed to do about that? Does this not flabbergast y'all? It flabbergasts me. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient. Now, how many of you were taught in school that you can't legislate morality? Y'all ever heard that? Biblically, that is malarkey. The Bible is here saying that the purpose of civil government is to have morality in the civil codes for the people that won't do it automatically in and of themselves, because it's to protect society from that kind of stuff. Are y'all with me? You have the right to live your life and not have your stuff stolen, etc. Okay, goodness gracious. I'd sure rather preach about Matthew 1:21 or election or the atonement or something, I promise you. And I especially appreciate the patience and endurance of the youth in the congregation today. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and for the disobedient. And then he gets a little bit more specific, for the ungodly and for sinners. That's who the law is for. For the ungodly, for people who are just going to do meanness. For unholy and profane. Now, he gets down to some nitty-gritty here. What's one of the first foundations of a civilized society? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. What's the law? What are the laws of the land supposed to do? For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. Right there it is in God's word. Those are the laws that are supposed to be on the books in the land according to God's word. They go all the way back to the foundations of civilized society given to us in Exodus, and that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and reiterated by our Lord himself in Matthew 19 and 18. The Bible's consistent. Y'all with me? It's perfectly consistent. So the laws of the land are supposed to be for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. Someone's going to murder their own father? What? Murder their own mother? It's happened. Amen. Of course, in our culture, what we legalize is the murdering of our unborn children. And then notice, there's no doubt what the Bible says about, but then notice what he says. The next thing he puts in verse 19 is for manslayers. You know what that is? That's different than a murderer. This is manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. And you remember now, the Bible, God is the one that first made the distinction between premeditated murder and involuntary manslaughter. That distinction is in God's word. The Romans didn't come up with that. The British Parliament didn't come up with that distinction. God is the one that gave us that distinction. And remember I told you all when we were talking about that, God is saying accidents happen. Accidents happen. By the way, if everything is predestinated, how did God call it an accident? Durr. It's an accident. God even said, if you're swinging an axe and the head comes off and it hits the person and they die, you're not a murderer. That's involuntary manslaughter, God's word says. Are y'all with me on that? Can y'all imagine? The Bible's so wonderful. You know the only thing wrong with the Bible? We don't read it like we should. That's all that's wrong with it. We don't read it. We don't, you know, on a national scale. Well, there's not one of us here that reads it like we should. So, the laws of the land are supposed to be against, to protect us from murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers. So there's the first foundation of a civilized society, right there, right here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Next, for whoremongers, everybody understands that, right? That's the one that gets no adultery. Defilers, them that defile themselves with mankind. Everybody in here knows what that is without me talking about it. Just let me say, those are rules for a civilized society. A civilized society. So thou shalt not commit adultery is right there. In Paul's writing to Timothy about what the laws of the land ought to go against. Isn't that something? Right here in God's Word. And also, I'm just going to say one more time. The marriage bed, according to God's Word, is very sacred. Any kind of sexual activity outside that is forbidden in God's word. That's just the way it is. Okay. Next, he says, for men stealers. I think that means kidnappers. You're not even allowed to steal a person. You're not really not supposed to steal anything. Steal anybody's property. Don't steal their bicycle. John had a bicycle stolen one time. It grieved him. You ever had anything you liked stolen? Did you feel violated? You want to know why you felt that way? You had been violated. You had been. And don't y'all be stealing anybody else's stuff either. Young people, don't steal people's stuff. It gets down to some nitty-gritty here, this stealing stuff. Okay. If I go to the buffet at Western Sizzlin' and my ticket calls for me to get a dessert and I get one for me and I get one for Seth, what have I just done? Anyway. Men stealers. Don't be kidnapping people. And I want to say also concerning this. Kidnapping. In the early days of America, was the way that slaves got, they were, the people on the African continent would go in and kidnap people, bring them to the coast, and sell them into slavery. Men stealers. Now, some of you young people may have never heard that. Your history professors won't tell you that. Brother Gary's telling you that. This nation was not founded on slavery. Anyway, I know you're not saying that, but there are people in society that are saying that. It's just malarkey. It's worse than malarkey. For men stealers, so far we've got three of the foundations of a civilized society discussed right here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, right? Don't kill, don't steal. Don't commit adultery, but notice the next ones. For liars and perjured persons. The laws of the land are supposed to be against liars and perjured persons. Now, we think of perjury as lying under oath, lying in a court of law, and that's probably right. But look what the Bible is saying here. Here's the foundation of a civilized society. It's supposed to have laws against liars and perjured persons. You're not supposed to go in a court of law and under oath tell lies against your neighbor. for liars and perjured persons. So the reason I wanted to read this, I want everybody here to know that these foundations of a civilized society are not only contained in the Old Testament, they are also in the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to see it. They're supposed to be incorporated in the laws of any civilized land. To the degree we depart from this, we become uncivilized. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. I thank you for your great attention today. I want us to sing an invitation hymn here.